Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 5, Text 11. 10 was done yesterday. 10 was done yesterday, or Saturday. Yeah, it was done Saturday. So you want to move it up to 11? Okay. Yeah, it's text 11, because we had all those pictures about the frogs and everything. Yeah, 11, please. Everybody agree with that? We did. Remember, Go to Chandra showed all those nice visual aids with the frogs and the wells. Okay. Yena swarochi sa vishvam. Yena swarochi sa vishvam. Rochitam rochayami aham. Rochitam rochayami aham. Yatarko gnir yata somo. Yatarko gnir yata somo. Yataksha graha tarakaha. Yataksha graha tarakaha. Yena swarochita vishvam. Rochitam rochayami aham. Yatarksho gnir yata somo. Yataksha graha tarakaha. Others, please. Vaishnavis. Okay. Yena, by whom? Swarochisa, by his own effulgence. Vishvam, all the world. Rochitam, already created potentially. Rochayami, do manifest. Aham, I. Yata, as much. Arka, the sun. Agni, fire. Yata, as. Somaha, the moon. Yata, as also. Riksha, the firmament. Graha, the influential planets. Tadakaha, the stars. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. This is Lord Brahma speaking. I create after the Lord's creation by His personal effulgence, in parentheses, known as the Brahma Jyoti. Just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, the firmament, the influential planets, and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. Lord Brahma said to Narada that his impression that Brahma was not the supreme authority in the creation was correct. Sometimes less intelligent men have the foolish impression that Brahma is the cause of all causes. But Narada wanted to clear the matter by the statements of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe. As the decision of the Supreme Court of a state is final, similarly the judgment of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe, is final in the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. As we have already affirmed in the previous verse, Naradaji was a liberated soul. Therefore, he was not one of the less intelligent men who accept a false god or gods in their own ways. He represented himself as less intelligent and yet intelligently presented a doubt to be cleared by the supreme authority so that the uninformed might take note of it and be rightly informed about the intricacies of the creation and the creator. In this verse, Brahmaji clears up the wrong impression held by the less intelligent and affirms that he creates the universal variegatedness after the potential creation by the glaring effulgence of Lord Sri Krishna. Brahmaji has also separately given this statement in the Samhita known as the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 40, where he says, Yasya prabha prabhavata jagaranda koti kotesh vishesha vasudadi vibhuti binam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental bodily effulgence, known as the Brahma Jyoti, which is illuminated, unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation and unlimited numbers of planets, etc., with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. The same statement is in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 27. Lord Krishna is the background of the Brahma Jyoti, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. In the Nirukti or Vedic dictionary, the import of Pratishta is mentioned as that which establishes. So the Brahma Jyoti is not independent or self-sufficient. Lord Sri Krishna is ultimately the creator of the Brahma Jyoti, mentioned in this verse as Swarochisa, or the effulgence of the transcendental body of the Lord. This Brahma Jyoti is all-pervading, and all creation is made possible by its potential power. Therefore, the Vedic hymns declare that everything that exists is being sustained by the Brahma Jyoti, Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. Therefore, the potential seed of all creation is the Brahma Jyoti, and the same Brahma Jyoti, unlimited and unfathomed, is established by the Lord. Therefore, the Lord, Sri Krishna, is ultimately the supreme cause of all creation, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. One should not expect the Lord to create like a blacksmith with a hammer and other instruments. The Lord creates by His potencies. He has multifarious potencies. Pradaksha Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate. Just as the small seed of a banyan fruit has the potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his potential Brahmajyoti. My book says potential. Does your book say potent? Yeah. Well, I don't know what's correct. It's in the book here, it's potential. So the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his potential Brahmajyoti, Swarochisa. And the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. Brahma cannot create the seeds, but he can manifest the seed into a tree, just as a gardener helps plants and orchards to grow by the watering process. The example cited here of the sun is very appropriate. In the material world, the sun is the cause of all illumination, fire, electricity, the rays of the moon, etc. All luminaries in the sky are creations of the sun. The sun is the creation of the Brahmajyoti, and the Brahmajyoti is the effulgence of the Lord. Thus, the ultimate cause of creation is the Lord. Omagana timidam dasya jananjana shalakaya chakshuvina militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam upagadamayam dadati swaparantikam bandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri guru vaishnavam cha shri rupam sagradatam sahagana raganatam vidam tam sajivam sadvaitam sabhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakandikam cha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagapate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hare Priye, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Lord Brahma here is answering Narada's questions. Earlier in the chapter, Narada was questioning about whether Lord Brahma was the Supreme or not, and Lord Brahma here is telling him, no, I'm not the Supreme, I'm creating after the Lord's creation, like that. And and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Narada wanted to clear the matter by the statements of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe. As the decision of the Supreme Court of the state is final, similarly the judgment of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe, is final in the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. And he goes on to say, Narada was a liberated soul, so therefore he was not one of the less intelligent men who accept false god or gods in their own ways. He represented himself as less intelligent, and yet intelligently presented a doubt to be cleared by the supreme authority, so that the uninformed might take note of it and be rightly informed about the intricacies of the creation and the creator. So this is not the first and only time that this happens in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's sort of a standard method of, instruction or communicating the knowledge, that somebody who's, like in this case, Narada Muni, who's already in knowledge, he's already enlightened, but he's presenting himself, he's taking the position of that he doesn't know, that he's less unintelligent or unenlightened, and he's asking Brahma. So this happens actually earlier on in the Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni was in that. The roles were reversed, and that Narada Muni was in the position of Lord Brahma, and Vyasadeva was inquiring from him about, why he was despondent. And remember, Vyasadeva kind of knew. He already had a pretty good idea of what the problem was, but Narada was the spiritual master. So when Narada came, he took the humble position. He took the position of the unenlightened disciple, and he inquired from Narada, what's the cause of my despondency? And then Narada. So it's a standard, procedures, process of knowledge here. That's, done in the Bhagavatam. And another important point that Prabhupada makes here is that the Supreme Court is final, similarly the judgment of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe, is final in the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. This is an important phrase here, the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. The Vedic process of acquiring knowledge is a process of you receive knowledge from a higher authority, right? And just like in the, as it says here, Prabhupada gives the example, the judgment of the Supreme Court of a state is final. So, or we find that it's so many different walks of life where that's true, that you, you know, you have to accept the judgment of the higher authority. Well, just to give a couple very, how would you say, familiar examples for us that happened right here in our temple in the last 6 months. Say 6 months ago with the outbreak of COVID, there were so many theories. You know, everybody had a theory of what this disease is, how to deal with it. You know, so many different theories were, you know, racing around the community. And then one morning, Suvas just had to, you know, sat down, and I think Nakatma did the same thing when he was making announcements, and they had to say, look, everybody's got their ideas, you know, whether this is a hoax or it's real or it can be, you know, this makes any difference or that. We're going with the CDC, right? We're going with the CDC. That's our authority. Why? Because, you know, for better or for worse, I mean, you gotta use your, take what's comparatively advantageous. Now, so here's these people. They're intelligent people in the first place. That's why they get in those positions of, you can't be an idiot and become a physician. But to speak of at that high level, and their whole career is studying this stuff. So, you know, for better or for worse, we're going with them as the people we're going to, you know, take as an authority and follow their direction. Now, that's just the way things work, practically speaking. I mean, that's, and it's you know, probably it's going to be, get, it's, we'll get the best result. Another example of, you know, us doing this, and just in the last couple of days, a couple of mornings ago, Gaudachandra gave the Bhagavatam class, and I don't know if you remember, during the questions and answers, during his presentation, he was showing this earring that supposedly was the earring of Hiranyakasipu, and he was relating this pastime about how when Ravana went to try to get a benediction from Bali Maharaj, who's also, you know, they're in the same family, they're all Dhanavas like that, Daichins. And so Bali Maharaj said, sure, yeah, come on. And he wanted him to lift that earring. He wanted to give him Hiranyakasipu's earring. And it was, at least in that rendition, it was showing how that earring was so big and so heavy that Ravana couldn't even lift it. He couldn't even lift Hiranyakasipu's earring. So at the end of the class, I said, hey, you know, because it was a coincidence that I'd never heard that pastime. I'd never heard that pastime in 47 and a half years. So, but just somehow or another, that morning, I was just, you know, I was chanting my japa, and I was just thinking to myself, what era was this pastime with Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad Maharaj? Was it in this? Was it Vaivaswatamanu or Swayambhuvamanu? So I looked it up. I tried to look it up on the internet. And in the course of like trying to research that, I saw that pastime. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I never saw this before. And then here I was, you know, an hour later hearing it for the second time in 47 and a half years. So I just stupidly raised my hand and said, what's the meaning of this? And you know, of course, he didn't have an answer. But then Suvas took that as an opportunity to make the point that, you know what, we don't know where that pastime comes from. You know, works out in the they're saying it came from the Brahma Purana or something like that. I can't remember now. But the point was that we only want to hear what Prabhupada has to say. We don't want to, or some, you know, Vaishnavacharya. We don't want to hear what some scholar has to say about the Vedic literatures because, you know, how do we know it's correct or not? See? So it's the same point again, that you have to hear, we take from the authority, and we want to, you know, that's our process of, that's the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. And it's very practical, and we do it, you know, in ordinary life anyway. You know, you got to pick some authority, and you got to go with that. Now, here's an interesting point. Since we're discussing this, what if the authority makes a mistake? You know, what if the authority makes a mistake? Like, I'll give you an example. And I think it was 1976, Prabhupada, Hari Sari was with Prabhupada, he was his servant at the time, and he went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I think there's a mistake in the, I think I found a mistake in the Bhagavatam. I think, you know, in the eighth canto here. And Prabhupada said, really? What's that? He says, well, it says here, you're saying here in the purport, you know, this was talking about there's a battle between the demigods and the demons. So it was saying, and Prabhupada said in the purport that, it said in the translation that the blood went to the moon planet. No, the blood went to the sun planet, but it didn't reach the moon planet. You know, okay? So in the purport, Prabhupada said that this proves that the moon is further away than the sun, because it's saying that the blood reached the sun, but it didn't reach the moon. So Hari Sari went and said to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, you know, that would be correct if we knew that the battle was fought on Earth, but the battle wasn't fought on Earth. It was, you know, it was between the demons and the demigods. It was fought someplace in the heavenly planets. So therefore, that it's kind of like doesn't make any sense. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada acknowledged it. Prabhupada said, oh yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. He said, okay, change it in the next edition. He said, I like to just take any opportunity I get to smash those, you know, scientists like that. So, okay, so somebody could, and of course that was what happened. It got changed in the next edition. Prabhupada acknowledged that. So what should be one's reaction upon, you know, becoming aware of that? Should somebody think, oh, look, the authority made a mistake, therefore, just forget about everything he ever said. We reject him totally. I'll figure it out myself. That's one possible response. The second response is, well, you know, Prabhupada's right about some things, but he's not right about other things, so I'll just kind of pick and choose. I'll, you know, follow what I want to follow, but when it comes to something controversial, I'll just figure it out. Or the third thing is, a third way of relating, you know, responding to that is you can think, no, you know, we don't understand what the perfection of the acharya is. There was one walk in Mayapur, 1976 or 7, and they were talking about this, you know, perfection. And Prabhupada made the point that the acharya is perfect. He said the perfection of the acharya is bhakti samsana, and that comes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that he's perfectly following his acharya and preaching the Krishna consciousness movement. He's fully, you know, dedicated, surrendered, sold out. And Krishna's got his back, but Krishna might not be micromanaging. Krishna might not be, you know, that every move that, like, Prabhupada made or every word that he said was exactly... might be, but, you know, I gave this example from the Bhagavatam, so Prabhupada acknowledged he himself, you know, made a mistake there. But the point is that the acharya, as I said, Krishna's got his back. He's empowered to do the service of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And if some little detail is kind of incorrect like that, so what? It's just like on the battlefield. If a general doesn't step here instead of there, well, that doesn't mean he's not the general. You know, it's kind of... So anyway, so it's just a point on the position of the authority, that we have our authority. And we, you know, our authorities are perfect to guide us back home, back to Godhead. But that doesn't mean that, you know, every T is exactly, or every I has been dotted. No, but by following Prabhupada and the acharyas in our disciplic succession, then you're going back to Godhead. And so, you know, it's perfect in that sense. You don't have to get into every little teeny little detail like that. Although it's, although if you do that, it's not a bad idea, you know. To follow very strictly like that. But anyway. So here, talking about the creation now, it's talking about how Lord Brahma is referred to in the purport as a gardener. So, and Prabhupada makes the point that the gardener, he doesn't create the seeds. He just, he knows how to plant them, and he knows how to, let's see, he can't create the seeds, but he can manifest the seed into a tree, just as a gardener helps plants and orchards to grow by the watering process. So that's kind of a really interesting example, because, can you put that picture up there now? Because it gives us something to, you know, really think about, because there's a big difference between putting some seeds in the ground and, you know, knowing what to do. That's seeds, by the way. That's 42 different seeds. And can you get up there again? Anyway, it's a big difference. You know, sure. I mean, to be a gardener and know how to plant seeds and get it to grow into a plant, that's good. You're something to be proud of, right? But what to speak of if you actually could create those seeds? Now, you probably can't see the small print there. But those seeds are like strawberry, apple, blackberry, mustard, eggplant, grapes, raspberries, red rice, beets, golden kiwi fruit, rosehip, basil, tomato, pepper. Who could tell? And who could, can you imagine being able to create a seed? How would you do that? How would you even begin to create a seed? What would you do first? It's all packed in there, all the ingredients and the information for that one little seed to come up and, become a plant or a tree or something like that and produce all those fruits or whatever those different things, are. And then they all have seeds and they're producing again. Wow, what a incredible genius that would require. Way, way more than just, although I'm acknowledging it's a great, I don't know how to garden. I mean, even being a gardener is pretty, amazing and special. But what to speak of being the person who makes the seeds? See, so that's the difference between Brahma and Krishna. Brahma is the gardener. He's got enough intelligence. Krishna gives him enough brains to be able to take those seeds, hum, bija, pradapita. Krishna's the seed-giving father, and Brahma could take those seeds and make them grow into, different 8,400,000 different material bodies and everything else he does. But he's getting all the seeds or the plans, the living plans, which seeds, that's maybe another way to refer to a seed, a living plan. He's getting all that from Krishna. So Krishna's the brains of the outfit. Krishna's the brains behind this outfit, so to speak. And Brahma, although a very, very great personality, he's just a secondary creator. And to his credit, he hasn't got carried away by what he could do. He's acknowledging to Narada that no, I'm not the supreme. Far from it, far from it. It's just like, Krishna's. I'm just getting it all from Krishna. And I'm just like the gardener. See, it's just like if somebody, had a nice car, and they became an Uber and a Lyft driver, and okay, that's good. That's something to be proud of. You got a nice car and you're a good driver. But that's nothing compared to being the person who thought up the idea of a car, designed it, and manufactured it. There's a big gulf of difference. See, so that's like the difference between Brahma and Krishna. It's we give Brahma a lot of credit for what he did, but look, Krishna gave him all the seeds. The seeds for everything, the seeds for creating the planets, the seeds for creating the 8,400,000 bodies, etc. So maybe for time. Okay. Wrapping up, why is this knowledge important? It's important because, we have an objective. We have an objective. And in order to achieve our objective, we have to have correct knowledge. I'll give an example. Like, say your objective is, and Prabhupada uses this example, say your objective is to nourish your body. Well, then you got to know where you put the nourishment. If you try to put the nourishment on your hands or your feet or your knees or any other hole except for your mouth, it's just not going to work. You're not going to be able to nourish your body by feeding your toes or your fingers or your elbows or whatever. You got to feed your mouth, and that's the process. That's how it works. Same thing. Probably the other example Prabhupada gives us is a tree. If you want to nourish a tree, you got to know to pour the water on the roots. If you pour the water, it's a great sentiment to pour the water all over the place. You might think, well, I'm doing a great job here. I'm pouring the water on the leaves, on the branches, on the trunk. No, it's good. Nice sentiment. But unless some of that water has to get down to the roots there, it doesn't work. So in the same way, our objective is, one of our objectives, well, we want to be happy. So if you want to be happy, you got to understand how the whole thing works. Just like in those two examples, there's a system here. There's Krishna, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're his parts and parcels, the jivas, innumerable jivas. Over 90% of us are in the spiritual world in glorifying Krishna and, eternal bliss and knowledge, right? But then less than 10%, I heard Prabhupada say this to Dr. Judah, right? Up there. Well, I didn't hear it. I saw a video of it, but I didn't hear it personally in that room up there. So less than 10% of the jivas come here to the material world. So Krishna creates this material world. It's like a school to give us an opportunity to reform ourselves. In other words, a reform school. And here we are, and there's rules, you see. And there's stuff we got to do in order to please Krishna. We have to learn how to please Krishna. Krishna makes that possible in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There's a verse, Karma Brahma Vandhi Brahmakshara Samudvan. The Vedas are direct manifestations of Krishna. So Krishna gives the Vedic literatures, and then there's the Brahmins and the sages. They study the Vedic literatures, and they teach it to other, make other people Brahmins, and they direct the Kshatriyas. And then so in other words, the idea is that this perfect knowledge, he creates the reform school, the material world, and then he gives the knowledge to how we're supposed to behave. Tasmat, I can't remember the second two lines, but it says, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So he gives us the knowledge of how we're supposed to behave in order to elevate ourselves, you know, and become free from material conditioning. So you got to know that. It's just like you have to know to feed the stomach. You have to know to water the roots. You have to know how to perform sacrifice to please Krishna in order to achieve our objective, which is to get out of this cycle of birth and death and to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay? You have to be aware of that. So that's why this knowledge is important, because we have to, I have to, and you could, if the shoe fits, we have to remember that our the ultimate goal of our life, our real goal of our life, is we have to try to become a person that the Supreme Lord approves of and is pleased with. That is the ultimate goal of life. To try to become a person that the Supreme Lord approves of and ultimately is pleased with. You see? We have to, thank you. The last few words, we have to try to become a person that the Supreme Lord approves of and is pleased with. That's the ultimate goal of life. That's my understanding. Atak pumbi drija sreshta varnashrama bivagasha sunusti tasya dharmasha samsid here hari toshana. That, I think that's Sutta Goswami to the sages of Namisharanya. He's telling them that the supreme occupation, O best among the twice born, the culmination of all the Varnashrama and everything you're doing is just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you do that, you've got it. And if you miss that, Dharma Svanusti Stapum Sam, Vikshvakshem Nikatashiyat, Napadayat Yudhiratam, Shrama Avi Kevalam. If you miss that, it's useless labor. You see? And the whole problem with human society today, to the degree that human society is missing this point of trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to that degree it's going to run into trouble. The more the sun sets, the darker it gets. You see? The more forgetful human society becomes of what the real philosophy of life is, this, then the more it's going to get into trouble. And we're seeing that right before our eyes. Within our own lifetimes, we're experiencing that. It's right there in all the pages of Prabhupada's books, and we're experiencing it in our own lifetime. It's unfolding, unfortunately. It's unfolding day by day, week by week, month by month, right before our eyes. And hopefully something good will happen. But anyway, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Maharaj?
Thank you very much for a nice, insightful class, very nicely arranged and analyzed and made clear for us. I just wanted to add a little comment on one point that you... can you hear? Everybody hear? Okay. Yeah. The point is that you said that when you were speaking of the goal is that Krishna should approve of what we do. And you said one other thing, appreciate...
Yeah, approve of us and be pleased with us.
And what? Pleased with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. There's no argument with that. But just as important, in fact, to me more important, is that we need to appreciate Krishna. We need to understand how much grace he's giving us, which he doesn't have to give. He doesn't have to feed us, but he does. Even though we sin, even though we do wrong things, bad things. Nonetheless, because we're trying to spread good things, his things, he takes that into consideration. As many bad as we do, he will give us so much good so that we can go on in developing and building and coming ultimately to him. So we need to be always thinking that Krishna enables us to eat. How many of us actually think when we put the food in our mouth, this is coming from Krishna? And also he could make it so, as he is making it so, he can stop it from coming. He can withdraw food. He can withdraw vision. He can withdraw our hearing. These are all graces. If we were free of all sin, then you won't need grace because you deserve it. But if you have had sins, and in spite of those sins, and you're striving to become better, then what happens is that Krishna will give us graces, things that we haven't earned, things we don't deserve, but which he feels he should give us simply because we are sincerely and seriously trying to grow closer to him and serve him as best as he, as best as we can, based upon the what his desire is for us. In other words, he wants us to achieve certain things, and we're striving to do this, and he's giving us this. Again, coming back to the point, we have legs. So many people don't have legs. So many people don't have toes. You know, one person right in our class here. So many people don't have fingers. So all of these things are graces, and we need to be thankful. We need to be very grateful. God, you're giving me all this so that I can ultimately serve you, love you, take guidance from you, and direct my words and my thoughts and my deeds coming from you. And I have to be very glad that you're even thinking of me when I have committed so many wrongs. In spite of all those wrongs, no matter what, you're helping me and helping. So my point of this is that we need to be thinking all the time, you're eating, this is coming from Krishna. How many times we think of that? Most of us, including myself, I don't even think of that. I just stuff it down my mouth and chew it, and that's it. But no, it shouldn't be that way. I should have a feeling of affection, a feeling of devotion, a feeling of dedication, that the Lord is thinking of me. He's giving me this. He's loving me. He's showing me so many wonderful ways to come back to him when he doesn't have to do it. And look at all the millions out there who he's not giving it to. So we are very, very much graced. We are very, very fortunate. We are very, very much loved. And the very fact that he sent us Srila Prabhupada is the greatest of gifts that he given. We cannot just look at Prabhupada. We should look at him with the feeling that, yes, you are manifesting God's words, God's thoughts, God's feelings, God's love. How fortunate I am. What I'm trying to bring out is it's not enough. You know, Krishna, yes, that's good. He should approve of what we do. But we need to be more appreciative, more thoughtful, more sensitive, more caring. And also that will interact with all of us, how we treat each other when we actually are very much appreciative of how Krishna is treating us.
Thank you for your inspired coming from the heart comment. Thank you. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say? I'm just out of time, so this will be the last one.
Well, according to what you said in a lecture, you know, example about sun and a moon, and you mentioned also, according to that, then acharyas, they can make mistake. Is it like that? That even acharya can make mistake?
This well, is what Prabhupada said when Harisari pointed that out to him. He said, "Oh yeah, that's wrong. Let's change it for the next edition." But that doesn't diminish, it shouldn't diminish our understanding that yeah, Prabhupada's he's the acharya. He's perfect. He's perfect, and that he's completely, you know, blessed by Prabhupada to spread the Krishna, to give spread the Krishna consciousness.
So some
despite
details.
The fact that Prabhupada, that's some little technical thing, that doesn't stop me from dedicating my life to Prabhupada and, you know, be feeling confident that if I just follow Prabhupada, that's perfection of my life and I'm going to go back to Godhead, despite that one little thing. That was my point that I was trying to make. Yeah, Archita.
We should try to understand that pastime correctly.
Okay.
It's like looking at Lord Brahma chasing his daughter. Prabhupada dealt with that. Because a foolish person may think, Lord Brahma, the head of your sampradaya, he's chasing his daughter. Why should I join that sampradaya? But Prabhupada said, it's a lesson for us. He's teaching us something. We shouldn't take it as a mistake. He's teaching us something. Okay. So it's the same thing with Prabhupada. Don't take it as a mistake. Don't harp on that. The idea is that he's teaching us humility. He's teaching us humility. If we harp on the point that, oh, he made a mistake, then we're going to always be in doubt. What's your mistake and what's not a mistake? Hari Sori caught that one, but maybe there are others that he didn't catch or somebody else didn't catch. That's not the point. The point is not that Prabhupada made a mistake. The point is Prabhupada is teaching us something. So we should try to understand what is he teaching us by this pastime. And in this particular pastime, he's teaching us humility. That you shouldn't be so hung up on your so-called abilities to write or whatever. Just be humble. Be humble. So that's the point there. Otherwise, a young person may think, well, there could be so many other mistakes. How do I know what's a mistake and what's not a mistake? That's not the point. The point is not that there are mistakes that Prabhupada made in his books. The point is he's being humble. He's accepting the point that his disciple made. Just see how humble Prabhupada is. But don't take it too far. It's like that pastime with Lord Chaitanya, where that devotee took it upon himself to criticize him all the time and to correct him. And then one day Lord Chaitanya just put him in his place. It's not your place to correct me. You see? So that's how we should see it. Don't think that there are so many mistakes that Prabhupada made and now we have to scratch our heads, where can we find them? No, not like that.
Thank you. Great comment. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.